listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
One day, I was trying to be myself. The same day, this thug say, you gotta come hard. Nigga, times is hard. I'm trying hard to make it. It ain't hard to tell. It's hard for me to fake it. Plus, it's hard to be me. It's hard to stop drinking. I guess it's hard for you hard niggas to start thinking. Pussy MCs thinking, so I can't get hard. Some become MCs because they can't get a job. Hard to trust people when you don't trust in God. Even harder to be the gods we created to be. This Western way of life ain't native to me. Put one nigga in your Pulp Fiction that relates. Related to me, I hated that we the only race that call our women hoes. Niggas be too hard to say ho at the shows. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy With Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Walking Day Wednesday. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir.
That's right, man. I had some fun with Thanksgiving today. It was cool. I posted that picture of the peanuts. Have you ever seen the one where they're all sitting around Thanksgiving table?
I think I have. It's in the cartoon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like Happy Thanksgiving and Charlie Brown, I think. You know, they had like, you know, they had those holiday peanut specials. Mm-hmm. I think it was called Charlie Brown Thanksgiving was the name of that peanut
like
special.
That. Yeah.
And I guess if people didn't see the picture, I'll put it up. But it's one of my favorite pictures. I always put it up about this time of the year, but I'll put it in the chat so y'all can see it, and then y'all can kind of see why I find this shit to be hilarious. But it's all the kids sitting around at Thanksgiving eating. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, the black one, mm-hmm. he's on the side by himself.
Nobody wants to sit with him,
right? And I just put this picture up and said it's a Donald Trump Thanksgiving. Aww. Charlie Brown, because the black kid was sitting by himself. But the more I looked at the picture, the more funny shit I started noticing. Like, why is Franklin in a lawn chair? Everybody else got chairs.
Aww.
Right?
He in a beach chair. What
kind of shit is this? No lumbar support, nothing.
Mm-mm.
You know,
sinking down in the chair and shit.
Yeah, and it looks like the food is all like popcorn, strawberry sundaes. Like it's not very nutritious.
Hot candy.
Yeah, candy corn or something. And if I'm not mistaken, Snoopy's wearing a chef's hat. So did he make this meal?
Apparently he did.
That's peak whiteness eating. I mean, I heard about letting your dog eat off your plate, but it's peak whiteness to eat off your dog's plate.
And ain't they missing no child?
Yeah, Lucy's not there.
Well, they're missing several children then.
Yeah.
Ain't the little dirty boy?
That's what I said. This is a pic. I said, if you look at this picture, it's about classism, because it's obvious they being racist to Franklin.
Right.
But they didn't even invite Pig Pants Broke Ass.
Mm-mm.
He didn't even make it. He didn't make the list, the invite. They must have had a cover charge. So,
oh, he must have been a Native American. They was like, we know you originally started this. We're going to kick you out.
So we made a whole lot of jokes about it and stuff on my Facebook, which is cool.
No, y'all did.
Yeah, you know, in the between people being mad at me about Bernie Sanders and shit, we got to.
What?
Yeah. We got to talk about, you know, this picture. I was like, I noticed that Peppermint Patty not sitting next to Marcy.
Right, that's, you know, the boo thing.
That's that roommate, you know, your aunt. Yeah, everybody got that aunt that brings her quote unquote roommate. Mm-hmm. Every year for the last 20 years, they just been roommates at Thanksgiving.
The gathering. Just come out and tell everybody y'all go together. Quit
right.
Playing with people. You might even be married. You just take your wedding bands off when you come into the room.
Shout out to all the people that tried to correct the jokes, though. Like, oh, well, you know, Peppermint Patty had a crush on Charlie Brown. I was like, they're fucking fictional characters, motherfucker.
Right.
I'm making a joke, okay? We all know Peppermint Patty was a dom, and obviously Marcy was her sub. That's why she called her sir.
Yes.
She was into that kink, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Charles Schultz was trying to tell y'all something about yourselves.
Come on.
But you wasn't listening, were you?
Mm-mm. You wasn't woke thinking it's just a simple-ass kid's cartoon.
Somebody was like, where's Lucy? Why she ain't there? I was like, she probably out getting some motherfucking money. Lucy don't play.
Like a boss.
Lucy about that coin, dog. You better run her motherfucking psychiatry nickels.
Right. She's like, I will be open up for Thanksgiving. Fuck what you heard.
Right. So I was like, I don't know what y'all talking about. Lucy probably was like, I ain't going to their little whack ass party.
She gonna be like all the a lot of the Chinese restaurants here in Charlotte. They big ass signs. We will be open.
She probably over there counseling Pigpen on his lack of getting invited to this thing.
Yeah,
that's how she get her coin.
Right.
So then I can't remember his name. He said I got him to say he would put it on the shirt, but then somebody on my Facebook page made a Photoshop of this thing, and they put the Solange hair.
Aww.
On they put the Solange hair on Franklin,
right? Oh. the cover to the
just the hair. It's still the same picture. It's just her hair is on
a lot
Franklin's
of,
head.
Gonna be a lot of woke people going to the family Thanksgiving. Gonna be the own little black dot in there with them white folks being woke.
Right. You know her album is called Seat at the Table. So I put this picture up on Twitter, and I put a seat at the Thanksgiving table, Charlie Brown. And it's been retweeted like 3,000 times or something. It's been retweeted a lot.
Oh, that's hilarious. That hair. Yeah.
So if he's Morn again retweeted it with, don't touch my plate.
Yes!
Oh, man. Anyway, all that to say.
She ought to say, you can't play spades.
All that to say, happy Thanksgiving, everybody, from the Blackout Tips to you guys, man. There's a lot of stuff to be thankful for.
It is.
So hopefully people are getting out there spreading the joy, man. It's a good time to, you know, we're thankful for all the people that are listening to the show, all the friends we've been able to get over the years via the show, okay, all the podcasters we worked with over the years via the show, the fans that we've met. This year has been some really cool experiences.
Yeah, this year, you know, has been a great year
with Awesome Con, Revolt Con. It's just, you know, getting to meet fans in Miami, getting to meet fans in DC.
Just the most traveling we've ever done.
Ooh, yeah, you know, people. I'm thankful for people leaving their phone on, not silent during the middle of the show like a professional.
Shout out to my telephone.
But yeah, so thank you to everybody who's, you know, taking the time out to make this year so awesome for us. We are thankful. And you know, just like every year, we're also gonna do the Christmas cards, well, holiday cards, really.
Yeah.
Because I think it's Kwanzaa actually on our cards. We still got some left from last year.
We're gonna use them.
So you can go to the blackouttips.com/about and you can find our address if you want to email. I mean, if you want to mail us Christmas slash holiday cards, whatever you believe in. And then also, we'll email us the blackouttips@gmail. Email us your address, and we'll shoot you a card via the mail as well.
Yeah, this is an annual thing we do. We do it every year. And also, I know we got a while, but also for those of you that are, you know, thinking about us and be like, oh, I want to do something, I want to give to you guys, but you know, I donated or I don't want to donate, I just want to give directly. Also, we have a Amazon wish list with little knickknacks and things like that out there, so if you want to go order something off of there, we will get it, and we'll let you give you a shout out on the feedback show. We thank you for everybody that even considers and thinks about that list,
so thank you guys. All right, let's talk about the show and stuff. Of course, you can find us, the Blackout Tips, on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search that. Leave us 5-star reviews. If we like them, we'll read them on the show. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today, our show is sponsored. It's sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. They, of course, have some audio play albums. We've been featured on a couple of them. Today, we're promoting Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. It's a album where we did a bunch of comedy audio plays and got to do a bunch of skits and silly voices and jokes and stuff. You can find it on iTunes and Amazon. Just search Sunspot and Other Ratchetness, and we'll come up. And if you like it, leave it a 5-star review. It helps them out tremendously, and it helps us out tremendously And we're also brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com today to get your first month free. That's getbevel.com/tbgwt, and you can get your first month free. getbevel.com/tbgwt. Oh yeah, and also for Thanksgiving, I just wanted to say, don't be stingy this year, guys. All right, let another woman make your man's plate. All right, it's a lot of people out there at each other's throats this time of the year, and I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, there's a lot of women that don't got men, and you need to be thinking about them. The less fortunate, ain't that what Thanksgiving is about? Giving to the poor, to the needy. She might need the feeling to make a plate for a man, and let your why not let that be your man. Okay, that's just like letting somebody, you know, borrow your basketball at the park or something. It's not, you know, it's not a big deal. It's just a plate, y'all act like you give them the plate, then they just fuck them right in front of you. It's not how it works.
No, it's not how it works at all. And I don't know, maybe I'm too quote unquote liberal, but I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Karen don't care.
I can make it.
All y'all ladies can make. Y'all can all make my plate. It's fine.
I don't care.
It's fine. You can rub your hands through my beard. Karen don't care. She's real cool, like, about that kind of stuff. All right. So yeah, y'all relax.
Yeah, because my opinion, it ain't worth the motherfucking stress. They ain't going home with them, and they ain't fucking them.
Exactly, guys. It's not a big deal. So, you know, the worst thing about this time of year is you have to go to the grocery store and buy stuff at the last minute or whatever, and everybody's so full of shit because they're like, but this year, because we respect our employees, we'll be closed on Thanksgiving because we respect the happy holidays. Have a happy holiday. And then at the end of the commercial, it's like, but we'll be open at midnight, motherfuckers. You get up in the middle of the night, because you know if we open at midnight, that means y'all need to be here at 8. So you cut that motherfucking TV off, and you stop eating that turkey, and you get your punk ass up in the middle of the motherfucking night, because we open up at 12:01 a.m. on Black Friday. That's right, Black Friday. How come there's no White Friday? I don't know. It's Trump's America now, bitch.
But it might change the name to White Friday.
Get a White Friday. Everything costs more. I don't know. I don't know how White Friday would work. It seems that would be antithetical. I guess charge everybody more if they white. I don't know how that works. Anyway, the point being, it's Thanksgiving, and I want people to celebrate it. But, you know, just remember, these stores are full of shit. They're going to still be celebrating Black Friday, the real holiday of America. We all know that Thanksgiving is not a real holiday for us. You know, the consumption of food, beer, and football is not, it's not the real holiday. The real holiday is when we savagely ride and get violent against each other in pursuit of Nintendo classics and 60-inch TVs for $42 that break within a month of you having them and come with no warranty.
When you be like, I've never heard of the name of this, because you ain't got a minute buying it, bitch. And if you really want to do it right, you actually get better sales online.
The real Thanksgiving is leaving your family at 3 p.m. so you can go start to be in line at Best Buy, so you can be one of the 10 people that gets you an Xbox One console for $20 lower than it would be the next day. That's the point, okay? That's the season. That's what we celebrate.
Yep. Having people leave their family and friends, and people can't even have cook their own Thanksgiving dinner because they fucking gotta be there for you.
Yeah, you know, you know, the worst thing too is like, when we were at the store, I went to the store yesterday by myself at Publix, and the woman that was checking me out, she made comments on everything I was getting. When did we go to this in America, dog? Just do your job.
Bored.
She was just like, oh, what kind of candle is this? She opened my candle up and smelled it. I was like, what the fuck, man?
What?
Yeah, I was like, you're not buying this? Go, listen, you work here. I don't.
You work here.
You
bitch.
Can wait till your make break. A list. Walk up there and smell all the candles in your motherfucking break time. This candle's coming on with me. What you gonna do? Lick it?
Right.
She's like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. Oh, what's this? Oh, they got this kind of chicken? I'm like, ma'am, come on now.
Right. Just ring my shit up.
I don't need your commentary. It's like she was a stand-up comedian doing, like, riffing on each item.
Well, I'm glad you ain't buying no interpersonal shit.
Yeah, what would happen if I would have been getting, I wish I had something embarrassing to have, just so I could be like, yeah, that's right, herpes cream. You got some jokes? she probably would have been like, yeah, herpes cream, you know, oh, they got the good one, they got the new one with the not burning sensation, okay, cool. You know, I normally get the other one, the dry one, so, good job. But yeah, she was just going over my whole list.
One is this yeast infection cream, do you got it?
All right, she's going over my whole fucking, oh, this is the kind of toothpaste you use? I'm like, man, come on, dog. It's embarrassing enough you checking me out. That's enough.
All right, and that's why a lot of motherfuckers like, you know, fuck it, I just go to self-checkout. But then you fuck around, you get the motherfuckers in self-checkout and actually need to go over there and let the goddamn cashier check them out, because they don't know how to use a fucking machine and it takes them 3 hours to check their asses out.
I don't mind those people. That's fine. You know why? Because you don't get paid $7. All right? You don't know how to work that fucking machine. They should have human beings at every line, okay?
I want you to take your ass over there and have a cashier check you out.
The cashier just needs to not fucking live commentary on every fucking thing you buying.
That's true.
You know, pretty soon they just gonna be like, you sure you wanna get this? You looking kinda, anyway, I guess if you think you can handle it.
You sure you need another gallon of Häagen-Dazs? Cause you know, you're looking kinda healthy, you know, heavy over there.
It's a whole lot of beer for one man. Wow. Yes. Does your wife know you buying this? I see you have a ring on your finger. Like, ma'am, this is not a relationship.
You got really 3 bags of chips and 1 bag of salsa.
The only man that I had a relationship with, y'all laid off. I haven't seen Publix buddy in months now. I don't know what
he
happened.
Might be laid off. I hope he is.
Hopefully you working at the spot.
Over at
Walmart.
He went to the spot.
I don't know. I haven't seen that dude in quite some time, guys.
Oh, he might have got laid. He might have went to halftime.
Yeah.
Part-time. I'm sorry. Halftime, part-time.
All right, guys, let's get into what you guys really came for. It's a holiday. I'm not even gonna do fucking with black people today, guys.
What?
Yeah, not even gonna trick you this time. We actually gonna do the Walking Dead recap. Come on. That's right, The Walking Dead, season 7, episode 5, Go Getters. Only 3 more episodes to the break, y'all.
That's all?
Mm-hmm. This episode was very girl powery, and it was directed by Darnell Martin, who is a girl, who's a woman. So that explains all the girl power, because it was amazing. this episode was only an hour long as opposed to the 90 minutes we got earlier. Right. Although I did see some news that we will be getting longer episodes now, like not every week, but there's gonna be a few more, like over an hour. I think next week is over 1:10 or something. Mm-hmm. So they're definitely stretching them out.
Yeah, probably because they want to tell more stories in the same amount of episodes. Like give you more depth in the same amount of episodes.
And I would say the basic plot to Go Getters is we find out what happened to Maggie and Sasha, and we see what's going on at Hilltop.
Right.
Which is cool for me, because like I said, we start this season. It could not have gone better than this is exactly how I planned it. Like, if you would have asked me on my list of how would I want them to do the episodes, I would have said, you know, obviously the humbling, you know, gotta watch my heads get smashed,
the dragging,
you know, but then I was gonna say, look, then I want to see the kingdom, then I want to see the saviors, then I want to see what happens in Alexandria, and I want to see what happened in Hilltop. And we've done that. This show is expanding so fucking much. This is bigger than Game of Thrones on some, like, as far as spending the hour one place. Like,
nice.
Like, as much as I love Game of Thrones, there were, once we got kind of later to some of these late seasons, it does feel a little bit disjointed sometimes with how much we end up skipping around, which is like, and this happened this place, and this happened that place, and this happened this place. All right, see you next week, you know. Now I'm sure it'll change after we've introduced every set piece, but right. I kind of am enjoying the idea of setting each place up in a dichotomy of what goes on within their walls and then going back to view the bigger picture.
Right, because once things start happening, you can kind of do, like you say, jump around and skip around and stuff like that, because you kind of laid the foundation of your storytelling. And you know, sometimes when people talk about storytelling, sometimes I wonder, they demand things that in reality would make sense, because it's like, well, just do this, you go, well, if they do that, there's no character development, they don't build a foundation, and then when shit happens, you're not gonna care because there's no investment.
Yeah. So all right, what'd you think about this episode, Karen?
I loved it.
Karen loved it. All right. I loved it too, man. I feel like I think the reason I loved it is probably the reason a lot of people are gonna hate some of the stuff with this episode, but I loved the dude who plays Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
He was so good.
He's an ass. Yes.
What a sniveling motherfucker. Oh my god. I love to hate somebody sometimes.
He plays
y'all.
That character well.
He is one of the most hateable motherfuckers on TV right now. Oh, you slimy ass. Oh, just no account, no backbone having, sniveling motherfucker. Oh, what a piece of shit. What a coward.
Ain't he though?
But he made the show. He made the show. He was like every bad middle manager you had at every job that you hated. Oh, he's the worst. Mm-mm-mm. And we'll get into all that stuff, but I guess we'll start with the recap, guys. So it opens up with Maggie awakening in a hospital bed, and she sees there's some blue flowers next to her bed, and Dr. Carson from Hilltop says, hey, welcome back. My assumption is whenever her and Sasha hit the road to get to Hilltop, she must have just passed out,
right?
And she didn't look like she was gonna make it anyway.
Mm-mm.
So thank God Sasha went with her, because her thing was like, I'm gonna go by myself, I don't want no help, I got this.
She would have
died on the road or lost a baby on the road,
right?
He informs her that she was suffering from abruptio placentae, which can be caused by trauma. It's a separation of the placenta from the uterus. Mm-hmm. It was a small separation, he said, so she was fine. She thought she lost a baby, let her hear the baby through the ultrasound. Which, you know, and then he told her like about you know, how she needed to be there for a few days, if not the duration of the pregnancy. He's like, you just stay around here where we can treat you, because I'm the doctor and I specialize in this, which, you know, good point,
right?
You
know, he's probably like, OGBYN. He's like, look, like, I'm not your daddy, I didn't do the animals, I did real people.
Yeah, the doctor that Alexandra died because she got that crossbow to the head. So
yeah, she did.
Crossbow bolt to the head. So, you know, this seems like the right thing to do now that we don't have a Denise to read her Wikipedia and try to like come up with some science
at the last minute, kill you with some shit.
So he tells her she definitely has to take it easy for a few days, and you know, she needs to stay there. Maggie gets out of bed and she sees Sasha outside, and Sasha obviously was worried about her, and she's glad everything's okay. She was like, he told me the baby was gonna be okay. She was like, Maggie was like, where are they? And she was talking about Abe and Glenn's bodies, which they buried. There were two fresh graves out there, and Sasha gave Maggie Glenn's watch, which he got from Herschel. Apparently she said Abe only had a cigar in his possession.
Mm-hmm.
So Sasha started crying because they both ain't got no man, y'all.
Mm-mm.
They both just out here independent women.
Yeah, this make two for Sasha.
Yeah, Sasha just can't keep a man. Mm-hmm. You know how it is, ladies. You get in the Z-Pac and all of a sudden you just can't keep a man. Mm-hmm. Fine as you is.
Right, and y'all, and she has went against the bear. She done dated a black man. She done dated a white man. She just mm-hmm. losing them, y'all. She was giving everybody a chance.
She gave an alcoholic a chance, and It just all went downhill because she can't keep a man. So they was crying and stuff, and Sasha said it feels like everything is wrong, and Maggie said not everything. I'm assuming talking about the baby. And Maggie said the doctor told her to stay basically as long as she's pregnant, and Sasha said then that's what we're gonna do. So it's kind of like they formed a pact right then, mm-hmm. that they were not giving up. They were not leaving Hilltop lightly. And I felt like after she said that's what we're gonna do, they should have just started everyone with
yes, because they was not leaving
right. Sometimes
it's wrong. They looked at each other like, girl, we here to stay.
Right, I got you, girl. It was a cool little sisterhood moment. And of course, wherever two or more gathered, Jesus showed up. So Jesus came through and he was like, what's up, y'all? And he had some flowers and he picked them out, and Maggie put together that he'd been picking. She was like, so did you put the flowers on my in my room? He was like, yeah, blue is for strength and healing, and these flowers he was putting on the graves are green. She said, what do they mean? He said, they mean the release. So I guess like release the grief or whatever that they have over this death of Abe and Glenn. And then right about then Gregory showed up, and this is his first appearance as Mr. Fuck Up. And he shows up and he's mad that, you know, Maggie and Rick's group didn't kill all the saviors, and she told him that, you know, what y'all told us was just an outpost.
Right, you didn't give us the correct information, because you didn't know anything.
Right,
we were just going based off of your intel.
And he's like, how many are there then? She was like, it could be hundreds. And Rick's group was, you know, basically going in with not all the information. Now still Rick and them could have scouted better, they could have done more,
right?
You know, they honestly, I don't blame them, they had never faced anything that big, and what they were doing was already ambitious as fuck,
right?
But yeah, they could have potentially waited a bit longer. Who knows what would have happened to the Hilltop's men. I mean, essentially the information the Hilltop gave them was true. Their man was kidnapped, and that he was there, that's where he was. There was no reason to suspect that there was a bigger group. Apparently Hilltop, you know, had never been in that facility or been to that specific facility, it seems. At any rate, and you know, also Daryl kind of recommended they do it because they were hungry. They were going to starve.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, it was just a bunch of circumstances that forced their hand. At any rate, obviously we know, and with hindsight 2020, they fucked up. It was funny though, because one of the traits of Gregory, just a typical asshole trait, he can't remember nobody's name for shit.
Mm-mm. I think he purposely does that.
You think it's on purpose? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I couldn't tell if it, to me, it seems like he's just so unbothered. He's just like, I don't need to learn your name because I'm more important than you.
Right.
He says, do they know that you made a deal, the deal that you made us take, Marsha? And Jesus is like, Mr. Correct. He's like, it's Maggie. But, she was like, we didn't make you take any deal.
Right. They didn't.
Right. But at the same time, like, they did come in, they were armed, they did kill a couple people, when they got attacked and stuff. They potentially saved Gregory's life. I mean, it wasn't all bad, but you know, Maggie was playing hardball. He was laying in the bed stabbed, and she was like, we taking half y'all shit, okay? Now we'll protect, we're gonna do this for y'all, but it's gonna cost you. At any rate, he says, you made us take the deal. And he also says Dr. Carson doesn't have the authority to make that decision, which another Dr. Carson is rejecting authority. I don't know. Art imitating life, guys.
I guess so.
What if the doctor in Hilltop would have been Ben Carson? That would have been awesome.
Ha ha!
You're suffering from placental absentium.
Mm-mm.
Gregory also fussed at Sasha and told her to stay away from Maggie and concentrate on her work here at Hilltop. And then he also told her, did you bury these bodies? Cause she said, yeah, I dug these graves. He's like, we don't dig graves, we burn our dead. What are you doing? And she was like, yeah, I buried them cause I don't live here.
Right.
And then, it's like he didn't even realize she didn't live there. And Jesus like, Sasha's from Alexandria too. She came in with Maggie. And, Gregory's just like, I can't keep up with everybody. Like, what the fuck?
He's a dick.
What? You're supposed to be the leader. You don't even know who the fuck your people are.
Cause he don't want to be bothered. Why waste his time running people's names?
Right. So he basically pointed out, you know, he can't keep track of everybody. And he says, y'all gotta get the fuck out, basically. If these people see these graves, if they see y'all here.
Right, cause they know this is not our routine, this is not how we do things.
Yeah, if the saviors show up, they could recognize you, they could realize that you guys are, you know, part of Alexandria. I mean, technically, I mean, Gregory doesn't know it, but Rick has told Negan that Maggie's dead. So, you know, it could be a lot of that where he's like, look, I'm, you know, I don't want to risk my people for y'all. Okay. Like the best thing we have right now is plausible deniability. They don't know that we colluded with you guys. So, you know, let's get y'all the fuck out. Basically. Here's the thing. I don't think he's wrong. I just think we're rooting for our protagonist. So right. We're like, man, fuck that. I don't think anything Gregory is saying is actually wrong. I think he's saying what if he was the leader of a group of people and I was part of that group, I would want him to be like, this is what it takes to protect my group. Y'all get the fuck on. He is acting like how everybody pretends they would be in the zombie apocalypse on Twitter.
Right.
Like, why take this needless risk? Like, and then Maggie goes, Sasha says, well, she's pregnant. And he was like, that's your problem.
I ain't got shit to do with that.
Right? Like, you the one not using condoms in the Z. You knew it was a Z-Pac when you went raw.
Ah!
You know? Like, I saw people flipping on him, but I'm like, I don't know that he's wrong on any level. He's not compassionate, but, you know, you guys are the ones that are always talking about how everyone is making bad decisions and being stupid. I mean, that's pretty damn, you know, on the nose, I think, to be like, nope, fuck you. Y'all get the fuck on. At any rate, everybody was shitting on him on the timeline for this shit, by the way. So basically, he told them to go to Alexandria. Jesus said, nah, they can't go. They need to wait till at least, the next morning. It's too close to nighttime. And the doctor says you need to stay for a couple of days. And Gregory was like, I'm a nice guy, which is what every asshole says when they're about to do some asshole shit, but they don't want to be judged as an asshole. He's like, I'm a nice guy. You guys stay in the morning till the morning, but then y'all gotta go. And then Jesus was like, I'll take them back. Cause Jesus was like, man, you can't do this. And Gregory was like, you want to go with him? And he was like, I'll take them back. And he was like, that's not what I mean. Basically, like, take your ass to Alexandria and leave the fuck out of Hilltop. And Jesus is just like, man, come on, you tripping, bro.
I think he gonna leave eventually.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what's interesting, man? I don't know that he'll leave. I thought it was really the wrong move for Gregory to do that in front of Jesus. Cause that's how Jesus was born. His mom was pregnant and she wouldn't. Nobody wanted to take her in, and he ended up being born in a manger because of that. And you gonna just do this to this other woman in front of him? Like, Jesus gonna, he not gonna be okay with that.
He could definitely gonna have something to say.
Alright. Back in Alexandria, Rick and Aaron were planning to make a supply run so they could stock up so that when Negan comes back, they could have something to give him.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Carl was being like, you know, objecting to the whole plan, being like, we need to fight them.
I was like, fuck this shit.
And playing the worst game of darts I've ever seen in my life. Everything was up and to the left.
At first I kept saying, wait a minute. Then I was like, cause they just saw him hitting a wall. Then they opened it up. I was like, oh, he probably hitting that. I was like, nah, dog, your eyesight is terrible.
Yeah, Fetty Carl, man. He only got one eye, man. His depth perception fucked up. He gotta get used to it. Mm-hmm. But his aim was just terrible. And Michonne was there too, but she wasn't coming with Rick and Aaron. Rick was like, look, this is how it is. This is what we got to do. We got to get out here and earn for these people, you know, when they come back. He gives Michonne a walkie-talkie, says, we're going north. If you want to come with us, you change your mind, just come hit us up on a walkie-talkie. And he goes to kiss Michonne on the cheek, and she stops him and says, mm-mm, you got to give me all this sugar, and slobs him down. She kissed that nigga so good, he said, thank you.
He did.
She put them lips on him, boy.
Yeah, because he ain't been getting nothing in a while, because she been mad as hell.
Also, I feel like he got emasculated in front of her. He probably doesn't have, I mean, that body language says a lot, man. Like, he ain't knocked that out the box in a minute. They haven't, you know, gotten intimate in a minute, because, you know, other shit is stressing the whole relationship. You know, they not just the Negan thing, but also the fact that they don't agree on how to handle this Negan shit.
Right.
Like, they're having a fight, but he also watched people die that he feels responsible for and got punked. You know, that was the whole point, to punk him in front of everybody. And that's gotta fuck with your libido, man. But she gave him that kiss, like, you better get your ass back here safe. They leave, Aaron and Rick, and Michonne is packing up to leave, and Carl is like, you know, basically, my dad is wrong. Michonne is like, I don't agree with him either, but, you know, we basically gotta work it, go through what he wants to do. We gotta do it his way. And he's like, where are you going? She was like, I gotta figure some things out. Which is why she wasn't going with them. Mm-hmm. Carl was like, you know, my dad is wrong and you know it. And she says, look, even if I think he is, I don't know that he's wrong.
Right, because it's one of those things to where that conversation that they had when he had told her about Judith, and it's one of those things where when he explained, like, I'm carrying the burden of people dying on my watch. It's real easy for people to act reckless when they do not care about a group of people, when it's just them thinking about them and their revenge and just focus on a single thing themselves. If you gotta think about a group, you have to consider everybody. You can't just consider how you feel at the moment.
Right. And I do think Michonne is still dedicated to the group. I don't think she would go solo. Mm-mm. I feel like ever since she, after the prison, when she tried to go solo, mm-hmm, and do her thing again and put the ropes on the zombies and walk into the herd, and she ended up killing all those, that herd, and coming back, mm-hmm, I feel like she's done with the loner thing.
Right.
So then after Michonne leaves, Carl looks out the window, and he sees something. He runs to the gate, and it's Enid trying to climb the gate and leave again. And I thought she probably just out at first. Like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, so she saw the saviors come. She's always been very, you know,
right,
very, very negative about the way that, you know, the society functions. She's always been like, look, everybody thinks they're safe. Something happens. You realize you're not safe. This is why the fuck I don't get attached to people. This is why I move. Mm-hmm. So that's what I thought, was like, oh, she's shaking the spot. Come to find out, she told Carl, I'm leaving to go to Hilltop because I need to see Maggie. So apparently, Glenn and Maggie really did get through to her.
Yeah, because it was like, as particularly after Beth died and everything, you know, Maggie really didn't have, like, anyone to actually bond with. And I think when she came back after Glenn convinced her to come back and stuff like that, I think she truly, truly bonded really, really tight with Maggie, and she actually cares.
And basically Carl says, okay, well, if you leave to take that long ass walk to Hilltop, I'm not coming to save you. And she's like, first of all, I got better aim than you, Fetty Carl. I mean, what the fuck come you gonna on. Do I mean, you can't even hit dartboard right now. But she was, and she, it hurt his feelings. She was like, I didn't mean it like that, but she did. And then she was like, you know, is that what you think you did? You saved me by putting me in the armory and locking me in there? Cause that's what he did at the end of season 7. Mm-hmm. Or season 6 or whatever. And he was like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. And he was talking about, he saved her from having to see Glenn die.
Right.
In such a brutal fashion. Mm-hmm. But she basically is like, yeah, well, I'm leaving anyway. Back in Hilltop, Sasha was making up the couch, to sleep in this, like makeshift trailer thing they had for her and Maggie to stay overnight. I guess like their guest trailers or something. Mm-hmm. So she's sleeping in, she's making up the bed, and Jesus is in there, and she basically confronted him and said, hey man, why you not the leader of this place?
Right.
Gregory's a piece of shit. He's weak. He's a coward. You're competent. You can fight. Why don't you just take the mantle of leadership from this dude? And Jesus is like, nah, I'm not like that. I just be trying to help everybody. I'm not the leader type and all this shit. To a certain extent, it's like Jesus can be part of the problem too. I know you want to know your role and stay in your lane, but there's also something to be said for the fact that he's let Gregory be a horrible leader for Hilltop all this time, you know. At any rate, Sasha tries to say, like, well, can you at least talk to him?
Right.
You can't kick this pregnant woman out. I'll leave. I'll scavenge. I'll earn money for her. I'll earn stuff for her, right, so that she can stay. But,
like, you can't make her leave. Like, that's ridiculous.
Like, if you're any kind of man, you gotta do something. And he's like, I'm not a leader. I know I got a whole religion named after me, but that's just kind of some bullshit. And then he said, oh, speaking of which, here's a necklace that I found on Abraham, and he gave it to her, but it was a necklace that was made from the brake lights that Rosita had given to Abraham. So she pretty much got a secondhand necklace from Rosita, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they still got that sister bond.
Yeah, small world, everybody. Mm-hmm. When Rosita sees Sasha with that necklace,
everyone falls.
Yes.
I feel like that's how it's gonna be. Mm-hmm. Right about then, Maggie shows up, right after Jesus was eulogizing Abraham by saying that he liked him. He was one of the few people that can make you smile and wince at the same time, which is a perfect summation of Abraham.
Yes.
Maggie shows up, and Jesus says he's gonna try to see what he can do. Maggie asked him why they burned their dead. Jesus said, because it's easier to just keep going. And she said, well, how do y'all remember the people? And he said, we remember them by us, by the people who remain. Like, that's all you got. Sasha waits till Jesus leaves. She goes up to Maggie. Maggie says, what now? Sasha's like, we just stay. What the fuck Gregory gonna do? And she said, Maggie says he's in charge. And Sasha's like, he's an idiot. And Maggie said, no, he's a coward and they're more dangerous.
Yes, sir.
That truth right there. That truth. Cause ain't nothing scarier than a coward on this show. Just a person you can't depend on that will turn their back on you in a second. Will fuck up any plan you have, because it takes teamwork to survive in Z-Pac, and you always got motherfuckers looking out for their goddamn self. And that's still people I don't trust. I don't care that they turn a corner. I'll still be looking at them like, any second, look at Nicholas. He almost got Glenn killed. You can't trust these cowards, man. Anyway, Enid is taking a bike to Hilltop. She stops the bike when she sees some blood in the middle of the road. I'm like, I know it's a contrived plot point thing that they're doing for the show, because anybody else would have just rode right on past that, like, ooh, there was some blood. And she stops to, like, kind of get off the bike to be like, oh, what is this blood thing? And right about then, a zombie comes out of nowhere. It's not even close to biting her or anything. It just comes out of nowhere. She freezes like she's never had to kill a zombie before, which I guess in all fairness, I've never seen Enid like actually take a zombie out. Mm-mm. So maybe she isn't really, maybe that was the point, was she shouldn't even be out here. I don't know.
Yeah.
Cause she typically seems to avoid zombies and shit.
Right.
Anyway, so she fucking, she fucking freezes, and then a car comes and runs over the zombie and then backs over the zombie. And it's like the car windshield is all dirty and shit. It's like, yeah, who's in the car?
There's two separate zombies. He, one is hit forward, and then the vehicle backs up and hits one in the back. They're two separate zombies.
Are you sure? I watched it twice. I'm pretty sure it's the same zombie.
He hit it in the front and the back.
Mm-hmm. Well, so he ran over it. It survived. It got back up, and then he backed into it, which totaled the fucking car. By the way.
Okay.
Anyway, it was car, y'all. That's who was in the car.
Okay, my bad. I thought it was two separate. Okay, so once he hit it, it flipped, got back up, and he hit it again.
I guess Fetty Carr couldn't see the mm-hmm. zombie clear enough.
No, his depth perception is terrible.
He ain't got his permit. Mm-mm. You know.
Yeah, he didn't pass the eye test. They told him, you know, you need glasses, and he never took his ass back to take the right test.
Right. So he fucking opens up the car door, and he's like, I was just going for a drive. And then they go to commercial. So they finally reunited, guys.
How you gonna fight on your insurance?
Right. After the 5 seconds of them not being together.
Right.
But they finally back together. I did notice the airbag never deployed.
How old was that vehicle? The vehicle looked fairly old.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. He crashed in the poles twice. Mm. Guess they don't make them like that anymore.
No.
But he said he was out for a drive. Sasha and Maggie get woken up in the middle of the night by loud music.
Right.
They look out the window, and there's a car in the middle of the hilltop settlement. It's blaring loud ass orchestra music. There's three fires that are lit inside the compound. Mm-hmm. The gates are open, and walkers are coming in.
Mm-hmm. Because of the music.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a man-made trap setup type thing. Mm-hmm. You know, who would do this? You know, your guess is as good as mine, guys. At any rate, you know, Sasha gets they're locked in from the outside, which seems, I don't know if that's like supposed to be like security, like those are also holding cells, or if you're trying to keep zombies from being able to get in, or people break in. But then why would you lock it from the outside?
My personal opinion,
yeah,
I think that whoever said it actually locked everybody in so that they couldn't get out.
Oh.
I think that was part of the plan, because you know the way it is. Somebody physically had to set the fire. Somebody physically had to open the door. Somebody physically had to set the vehicles there. I think that they went around while everybody was asleep and literally locked everybody in so they couldn't attempt. So they couldn't get out unless they, you know, forced their way out of it. That's just my hypothesis.
That makes sense. Makes a lot of sense, actually.
Because I was like, other than that, it wouldn't make no sense to lock it from the outside.
Well, that's a lot of coordination by the saviors to do all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's who was behind it. At any rate, these motherfuckers can't get out the thing unless they crawl through the top of the trailer.
Right.
Sasha gets out. She tells Maggie to stay in because obviously the doctor told her no more exertion and the rest for days and all this stuff. Sasha gets out and she kills a zombie. She starts looking for the car, how to get into the car and stuff. Jesus is out there. Two other dudes are out there. Sasha looks back at the trailer. Fucking Maggie's on top of the trailer now. And she's mad. Like, I told you to stay in there, but they don't have time for all the fighting and shit.
Right.
And so Maggie starts basically commanding everybody.
Right.
You know, and she's basically playing Hilltopians versus Zombies.
Like Plants versus Zombies.
Yeah, she's just like lining everybody up. Like, you do this, you two people close the gate, and you do this, and you do that. And so, you know, and you could tell the saviors did it because they're so immature. The lock on the back of the car was a middle finger lock.
Yes.
Who, that means they took the time to either find or craft a middle finger lock for that car.
That, and also is one of those things, the way the car was made, like, it was almost impossible to get rid of the car. The music was blasting. Yeah, all the windows were barred up. Like, the car was basically locked down.
Yeah, it was clearly designed to do exactly what it was doing. Mm-hmm. And for the Hilltopian people to not be able to do it, because keep in mind, these people don't have guns.
Nope.
You know? So at any rate, they basically start working together, and Maggie gets in a tractor and backs over the car, which kills the noise, and she rolled over some zombies and stuff. And that was basically the end of that situation. But Maggie and Sasha definitely proved their worth, you know, killing everything and all that stuff. And Jesus was doing some like cool wall kicks and
some ninja moves.
Yeah, karate into zombies. And
I know, apparently he must have got it from his daddy, and then
his daddy.
Yeah, God.
Oh, okay. My bad. I follow you.
Oh, no problem. And then you had Gregory looking out going, oh, Dr. Killer people. He like faded to black. I was like, this nigga.
Gregory did the exact gif of when Homer Simpson,
yes, he did,
backs back into the bushes. Oh my God.
He faded to black. He looked like, oh, zombies.
Coward ass nigga. Got it, man.
Why,
listen.
Why he seen them doing this shit? Because basically he's kind of up in like this mansion, which is separate from where they are. So he seen that shit and was like, nope.
That dude is written so perfectly. He's such a good, terrible person. I love hating him. Anyway, he ain't helped nobody. He ain't lead shit. He sat up in the dark in his room waiting for them ladies to do the work.
Sitting up in my room.
Right. So they stave off the zombies. Back on the road to Hilltop, Carl is talking to Enid about watching Glenn and Abe get their heads bashed in. He says he made sure to watch the whole thing so he remember it. So if he gets a chance to kill Negan, he won't have a choice. He will kill him. Now, I'm guessing because of the way that it was filmed, they either found somewhere to sleep at night or walk through the night, because we watched Sasha and Maggie basically wake up in the middle of the night and fight zombies, and then we cut back to Carl and Enid on the road. So I'm assuming they walked through the night or did something through the night. Anyway,
they may have like I said,
because there's no way the timing was that fucked up. Like, they didn't walk to Hilltop all in one day then,
right? And yeah, that or either they just chopped it up. But yeah, that would make more sense.
It wouldn't make sense to, I mean, right, if they chopped it up, then they fucked up.
Right. Cause
so I don't think there was that.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, like, well, it went from day to day. And I guess my question is like, y'all in the middle of the daytime, well, even if they was traveling at night, they probably stopped at night.
At this point, they're so seasoned, I don't doubt they could find somewhere to stay overnight. I just found it interesting that they basically chose with that storyline to cut back to them walking down the street in the daytime again, you know, right. Which, I mean, maybe also for the aesthetic feel of the story they wanted to tell with those two, they wanted to keep it like not a dangerous feeling,
right, and really light. Because I guess my thing, I kept saying, well, why y'all out in the open? You're not trying to hide yourself. You're actually on an open roll. Anybody can roll up on you. I guess my thing, I that's the part I didn't understand. But I gotta remember, they're young and they're dumb, and they don't think. I think if Enid would have been by herself,
Enid
would have been by herself, she wouldn't have been out the open. I think because she was with Carl, she felt more comfortable to be out in the open, like in the open road like that. Because I was like, why ain't y'all in the woods?
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like even when the crew was together and they were walking to Virginia to find Alexandra, they were walking on the road a lot.
That's
like,
true.
I don't think people really take. Because everywhere you take, in the woods, in the back paths, there's also places other people could be hiding. There's also places zombies are. You can't really see people coming at you. That could be true. Traps. It's like if you go down the road walking, maybe you feel like there's less likelihood of an ambush because you can see further in front of you and behind you.
That's true.
And if like a car is coming, you just get off the road. But
yeah, I got to remember everybody not like Daryl. Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, everybody can't smell a bell trap a mile away. My bad.
But this personally felt more like for the aesthetic value of this storyline, they wanted them in the sunshine, walking down the street.
They wanted a happier.
just feel. I'm not saying happy, just I'm saying how I mean it. Just it felt safer. It felt like nothing was going to happen to them. It wasn't like there's many other scenes where you feel like, oh, anything can happen. This felt more like you don't even need to worry, they're gonna be fine,
right?
Anyway, so they're walking down the street together and talking about, watching Glenn and Abe die. And Carl basically said he wanted to kill Negan, and Enid said she wanted to kill him too. And Carl seemed a little bit taken aback, like, damn, for real, you too? And she says, you gotta do things for the people you love or loved. And Carl said, nah, it's not for them. Like, it's not for Glenn and Abe. They dead. Like, I want to kill Negan for me. We cut back to Hilltop. Jesus is talking to, Gregory, and he's advocating for Maggie and Sasha Stan because, hey, they helped clean up the whole zombie invasion thing last night. And Greg's like, they need to get the fuck out. Like, you know, this,
like, it's still gonna be a problem because, yeah, they killed them, but they know we not fighters. What the fuck?
I don't think he was thinking it through that much. Okay. I think he was basically saying, we know they still coming.
True.
The fence was still broken. They clearly had put those zombies in there for some purpose. They're clearly close. That means they're probably coming to collect. It doesn't matter that they saved us. They need to get the fuck out.
Cause we know any minute now they could show the fuck up.
Right. Once again, this is how everybody on social media says they would act in a Z-Pac.
Right.
But somehow Gregory's a bad guy. Anyway.
So it's in between that and you actually seeing it.
Right, right. And so Gregory's like, nah, man, they gotta fucking go. And Jesus is like, man, you can't do this. She's pregnant and all this shit. And he's like, man, don't nobody give a fuck about that. He was like, you want to lead, Jesus? You want to take the wheel? You want to stop being my co-pilot and be the pilot, nigga? And Jesus was like, he's kind of hesitant. He was like, look, you barely here anyway. You always on the road doing shit. You want to take over the saviors. You want to take over the deal with the supplies. You want to take over and, you know, just deal with all the headaches of leadership? Or do you want to basically shut the fuck up and let me do what I do? And about then, Maggie and Sasha knock on the door. They come in, and Gregory's tone, oh, he's such a snake, changes completely. It's just like, oh, thank you guys. I just told Miss Caitlin to come bring you guys some kind of preserves. It was like our rhubarb preserves. Bring them upstairs for you. I told Miss Caitlin to hook you guys up because, you know, we just are so thankful for what y'all did. And Jesus said, it's Miss Maitland. Cause
he turned everybody's name up.
Gregory was tanking. Gregory basically says, now y'all still gotta go. And Sasha says, look, I'll leave. Just let Maggie stay. Gregory's like, no, both of y'all gotta go. And she was like, come on. I know we can make this work. What do I need to do? And Gregory looked her up and down and suggest that they have a one-on-one chat, basically, in private.
Mm-hmm. Trying to be Trump, grabbed by the pussy.
Yeah, like, it was, and this is in front of people.
And it was so goddamn creepy.
Yeah,
the
and it
same
was.
Same shit he tried to pull on Maggie before. Yep.
Yeah, and it was so obvious that he was talking about knocking that brown sugar off. It was so obvious. Maggie answered for Sasha before Sasha could even say anything. She was like, go to hell. And Gregory got super offended, like, what are you trying to say, imply that I would try to be getting in some of this hot chocolate? Are you serious? I am offended. I'm gonna tell Miss Caitlin not to even bring the rhubarb preserves, and I think you guys should leave my island. You know, y'all come straight out of a comic book. Like, he was just so super offended. It was just playing a part. And it was so see-through, but nobody gave a fuck, you know. Mm-hmm. And so right about then, the saviors roll up. Mm-hmm. The saviors roll up. Gregory goes, he ran to the window like every time I was trying to, like, play Sega, and my mom, I thought I heard my mom in the drive-thru.
Yeah, you thought you heard the brakes on the car?
Yes. Like, it's like he heard the car door close. He ran to the window so fast. And so he runs to the window. They see the saviors. He's like, get them in the closet. And Jesus like, come with me. And they basically, you know, he takes them off or whatever. The Savior's crew looked super tough. It's like if Negan wasn't with them, but Simon, his second in command, his right hand man, as Negan returned to him, was
who we seen before.
We've seen right. him a couple times before. Mm-hmm. And Simon is with the biggest, blackest defensive line looking motherfuckers.
Elba!
Like they brought the heavy hitters. They get out and we cut back to Carl and Enid on the road. They find roller skates. They start skating down the road and laughing and holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, feel like that storyline was supposed to be completely different than what the shit we were going through.
Yeah.
That shit felt like it was out of some other type of movie or something. I don't know.
It's like, right. These people scared, now here's some rainbows.
Right. In Hilltop, all the big ass linebacker dudes pile into the mansion lobby with guns and everything.
I mean, it was a lot of them niggas.
So many niggas. And Simon says, sees, Gregory. He's like, Gregory, I heard a lot about you. So now we'll find out. Simon and Gregory have never met.
Ah.
You know, so Simon says, I need to talk to Gregory, but it's too crowded in here. Let's go talk in your study. I can see that painting that people be talking about, that someone told me about. When they go in there in the study, Gregory and Simon Simon's admiring this painting, talking about you know, it's beautiful, ain't it, and all this stuff. And Gregory's like, hey, just want you to know about last night, we got the message received. And Simon's like, what's the message? And at this point you have to realize Gregory's trying to find out, did Simon come here to kill me because they already know that we colluded with Rick and them?
Right.
Or do they not know? And this is just a friendly reminder that, hey, we still out here and we still expecting to get half your shit every week. He don't know. So it's like a game of just like cat and mouse, yeah, with this conversation. And so Simon's like, what's the message? And Gregory's like, you know, show us that y'all still the boss, that y'all in charge. And Simon doesn't confirm or not. He just turns around and says, like, you know, they sit down and he says, it's basically about, you know, we put in a lot of work, you know, to do that. He's like, you know, that was us putting in work. We put in work to get the zombies together, to crack through the gate, to put the car together. And we were gonna come in and kill the zombies, to show you that we got service, that this is, you know, we still are providing service to you guys. Gregory says, you know, Simon's like, but y'all killed the zombies yourself before we could even come in. And that's good. Gregory's like, well, it's still kind of like you saved us, because it's like we learned it from you. You know, trying to just suck that dick. Just, hey, what'd I say? If you gotta suck a dick, just deep throat it. Don't even
play around with it.
Don't even bullshit, man. Gregory is doing what I think Rick could do, but we wouldn't respect him as a audience.
Right.
But if Rick really had to, like, Rick, like all the shit that Rick's gone through, if Rick would have been acting like, oh, come on in, Mr. Negan, I would have understood, you know, but Gregory is that. He's exactly the, I will bow my head, whatever y'all need me to fucking say. I'm just trying to understand what the right answer is so I can say it fast, you know?
Right.
So, basically he's like, well, it's like y'all showed us how to save, we picked up some skills from y'all. And Simon basically informs Gregory that the crew that used to do the pickups are all dead. They were brutally murdered. And Gregory pretends to be shocked.
Oh, because they were the people at the outpost.
Right.
Okay.
And Simon informs, which also tells you how Hilltop works. I mean, I'm sorry. Tells you how the saviors work. they're so big, they farm out collections to other groups. So like the outpost was collecting collecting from Hilltop, but that entire crew was kind of run separately from Negan's thing. Like that, there's a chain of command basically, mm-hmm. to even get to Negan,
right?
And
they thought that was the entire group, and it wasn't,
right? And right. So Greg was like, I just want you to tell Mr. Negan that we definitely understand and we're definitely still on board and all this stuff. And Simon was like, no, you don't understand, I'm your Negan now. And Simon asked him, is there anything else I need to know? Because Gregory was acting kind of weird, because he was like, he started repeating himself. He's like, that's good, mm-hmm. that's good. And Simon was like, anything else you need to tell me? And there's a very long pause, and they made eye contact a couple times, and finally he leaned in and I said, this nigga about to sell them out. And mm-hmm. he was just like, actually, there he is. And they walk out of the office and they walk towards a closet in the hallway, and he opens up the closet for Simon, and he looks in there, and the only thing in there was a big ass box of scotch. Mm-hmm. It was like a bunch of scotch.
Yeah, and what was funny was that Jesus was like in the room with him, and when mm-hmm. he went, he looked at Jesus lightly shook his head no. Mm-hmm. And I know him, he was like, nah, fuck you nigga, I'ma tell it
right. He shook his head no, like, don't open that fucking closet.
All right.
He opened up the closet anyway. I believe Gregory thought he was opening the closet and it was gonna be Sasha and Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
Instead it was his favorite drink, because Jesus works in mysterious ways like that.
Mm-hmm. He turned that water into wine and put right. it in them boxes,
right? So it was pretty fucked up. Then we'll see. Simon mm-hmm. sees the scotch and he's like, this shit, I hate scotch, tastes like, he said, ashtrays and window wiper fluid or something. But he was like, I'm gonna take it anyway. Negan loves it. I'm gonna give it to Negan. I'm not gonna tell him it's from you. Basically just gonna skip the middleman on that whole thing, cause I want him to feel like it's from me. And then he told Gregory to put that last bottle of scotch back into the box. Mm-hmm. And Gregory was hesitating, and he was like,
cause he basically took all his drink.
Yeah, cause he was like, can you put that one back for me? And Gregory didn't do it right away, and he was stunned that Sasha and Maggie weren't in there.
Right.
And he says, hold on, let me say it again. Can you put that one back in there for me? Period. Like, no question mark. Put the shit back. And so he did. And he says, now we're gonna take exactly half of your stuff to Gregory and crew. And he tells everybody to take their stuff, and then he makes Gregory kneel.
Mm-hmm. He even took the painting in a while.
Yeah. So it was, you know, it was kind of fucked up, man. But look, this is what happens. Okay. You set these people up to die, and you definitely would have let them die. So you lose your scotch, because that's the karma that Jesus believes in. Outside, Carl and Enid saw the saviors loading up. Carl realizes that Negan wasn't with him because they didn't have the truck that Negan drives. And then Enid realized finally, Carl really wasn't coming out there to save her.
Mm-mm.
Apparently he was trying to drive that fucking car with his, you know,
fucked up eye.
Yeah, he was trying to drive that car to find where Negan was at and kill him. And this presented an opportunity for him to try to follow these trucks back to wherever Negan's place was and sneak into the savior place, or somehow find a way to kill him. And Ina's like, don't go. And she kissed him. She said, please don't go. And he was like, I'm going. And so she's like, well, I'm going in the Hilltop. He was like, you can come with me, cause you said you want to kill Negan too. And she was like, no, you were right. That wouldn't be for them. That would be for us, that we would be killing them.
And he was like, well, I don't care, I'm killing him. And she was like, all right then, bye. And then she was like, I'm going in the hilltop. And he was like, you might get spotted. She was like, I won't. And she just walked away.
Yeah, she a ninja. Yeah.
Right. Which begs the question, who the fuck's watching Judith?
Ah, that's a good, right, because everybody's gone.
Who the fuck watching Judith?
Rick gone, Carl gone. Ha! Did he leave? Did somebody call DSS on them? Right. I hope somebody else got that baby.
Yeah, I think Miss Smart said it on Twitter, but she was like, obviously Father Gabe.
That would make sense. Because
you know, they stay with a black man nanny.
Oh yeah.
With that black man nanny. Oh, they do.
They were like, why does this baby like black men?
Tyrese. Oh man. Judas is going to grow up and be all up into the brothers. Mm-hmm. At any rate, so Enid walks off and goes in the hilltop. Back in hilltop, Gregory confronts Jesus and the ladies in the bedroom about what went down, in the hallway, essentially. Matter of fact, hold on. I think I can show you guys this because I have this clip. Give me 1 second. But yeah, he confronts them about what happened in the hallway where essentially he was expecting them to be in that closet.
Right.
And
that was his plan the whole time, was probably to wreck them out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know when it's on screen, by the way. But yeah, they, you know, this plan didn't go off the way that he expected. All right, here we go.
I told you to hide them in the hallway closet.
No, you said closet.
This is my bedroom. What if they came in here
before you tried to give us up?
They would have killed you first.
Honey, I'm talking to Jesus. Stop.
By the way, another great, great small note that he does constantly to Maggie and Sasha. The honey, baby, dear, sweetie, like just so fucking condescending. Oh, God, I love hating him.
Why are you even defending her? We're here right now because she and Rich didn't handle things like this.
Rich, not Rick.
He kills me with them names.
He might take more than Karen, guys. I don't know.
We're here right now because she and Rich didn't handle things like they said they would.
The Saviors tried to kill you.
That was a misunderstanding. And as soon as the Saviors leave, we'll get them the hell out of here before something bad really happens. Stop!
Now, the Saviors are the Saviors basically got him stabbed because they held that one dude hostage and told his brother to go back and stab Greg, to kill Greg. Mm-hmm. So, Jesus is like, man, what the fuck are you talking about? You know? And he does a misunderstanding. Such a coward.
They're staying. Or do you want to make it public? You want to make the deal with Alexandria public? Lose your plausible deniability? Lose your position?
So you're going to be in charge now?
No. It's just that you won't be. Maggie and Sasha are staying. I'm staying. We're all going to be one big, happy, dysfunctional family.
So we will be. And I'll see us through this. I made progress with them today. You saw it.
That's not what I saw.
Yeah, well, it's what happened. We play nice, they play nice. Say, dear, Saviors can actually be quite reasonable.
Maggie punched that nigga in his motherfucking mouth.
Man, he deserved that shit, man. He been disrespectful to them. Like, he just been a flat ass.
Oh, she punched him so good. She punched him forever. It's like, after she punched him, it should have just been like, oh, I'm a women's independent. Throw your hands up with me. Yeah. Oh, my God. She punched him so good.
Right, because she got tired of him. I bet you, probably just him constantly disrespectful. You know, him trying to make passes at her, make passes at Sasha. She was like, I'm just tired of you, nigga.
Mm-hmm. She hit him with that. That half baked. That fuck you, nigga.
Right. And you, nigga. Yes. And I think he underestimated her fight.
Mm hmm. So she punches
quite him. Reasonable.
And then she basically, he's been walking around. I didn't see it earlier, but he took the watch, Herschel's watch, off of Glenn's tombstone
that she had left there
and put it in his pocket.
And she probably seen the chain.
Right.
Right. And that's probably what made her punch the shit out of him.
So she said, run your motherfucking watch, nigga. She took that shit like he was Young Bird.
Oh, poor thing.
It's a fine watch. Doesn't need to be left out in the rain.
This is our home now. So you'll learn to start to call me by my name. Not Marcia, not dear, not honey. Maggie. Maggie Ree.
All the tears. She said Maggie Ree, dog. This is Glenn's last name, y'all.
But I don't blame her. She was like, bitch, you've been calling me by my wrong name all the time. This is who I am. I'm here to stay.
Right. Oh, man. That scene was so good, man. She punched the fuck out that nigga, too.
Mm-hmm. She seen that chain like, mm-mm. And they did a cool thing on the Talking Dead when they talking about how many hands that watch has changed.
Yeah, I didn't care about that. It was like 7 people or something. Mm-hmm. I didn't care. But yeah, that, it's her daddy's watch. That's the only one name that matter. You know? Glenn, her daddy to Glenn to her. The rest of the names, fuck them. But that, like, nah, of course she was mad, man.
Yeah.
And plus he betrayed Jesus, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm sure Jesus was upset. Hey, let me play that scene.
Nigga! Why hast thou forsaken me? You said you was loyal, but you wasn't. You said you was faithful, but you a lying ass bitch.
Exactly. You a lying ass bitch, Gregory. so then, after he got punched in his motherfucking face, they're watching, they're watching the saviors load up, right? Mm-hmm. And Jesus is basically copping pleas. He's just like, hey man, look, he was in charge when I got here. I thought he was cool. I just assumed it must have been for a good reason. I never thought about anybody else being in charge until now. She was like, and Maggie was like, who could be in charge? He was like, we'll talk about that later. So I'm assuming he's talking about Maggie.
I think so too. Because she didn't have a problem with that leadership position. I mean, truth be told, she was an intern when whatchamacallit was alive.
Like, Deanna.
Deanna, like, basically Deanna showed her, you know, because they didn't really go into detail of all the things that they, you know, intimately talked about. But I guaranteed her, that she showed her a lot about how to run shit.
Yeah, under Rick and Deanna, I mean, she's had some pretty good leadership tutelage.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie is like, well, I'm about to leave and go out there because the saviors left the compound and they closed the gate. But Jesus is like, yeah, they not done yet, so don't go out. Maggie's like, well, I'm going back to the trailer then. So now it's just Sasha and Jesus. And Jesus was like, I really want to make this up to y'all. And Sasha said, if you really want to make it up to me, to us, find out where Negan lives. And she said, and keep it between me and you. And he said, don't tell Maggie, I don't like that. And she was like, me neither. But basically, I think at this point, you can't tell Maggie for her own good. Cause Maggie don't know when to fucking quit. And I know, you know, there was a big thing about like, how you just gonna tell her to stay in and not do shit, but on some real shit, she almost lost the baby now. At some point, we gotta be like, hey, this is, Z-Pac already stressful enough.
Right, and then she was with Carol one time and almost got
yeah
stabbed.
That's what I'm saying, right. Yeah, like it's definitely a risk, you know. So
yeah, because if you tell her, all she gonna want to do is go out there, and you like, nah dog, because even after Glenn and them initially died and she looked like she was halfway dead, and she turned to Rick after everybody left like, fuck them, let's go get them. And he was like, you can't do that, sweetie.
Right, the world is dangerous enough. So, you know, I just thought it would be interesting to see how that fleshes out, because obviously not, you know, it's not cool to not tell her, but you can't tell her for her own good. Maggie goes outside with Glenn's watch, and she's gonna, it looks like she's gonna put it back on his grave. But Enid's already out there, and she's put some green flowers on the grave. She's sitting down there mourning. They have a little reunion. They hug. They go inside. They make grilled cheese sandwiches and tomato soup. Enid brings up how Maggie, she heard Maggie drove a tractor over a car. And Maggie's like, that ain't the first time. Been high school, I was dating this boy, and I drove over his car. I'm like, damn, let me find out Maggie crazy as hell.
I was like, well, I remember, you know, season two, she was at the farm.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, but driving over some dude's car in a tractor, man.
Yeah, she was like, fuck you and your car.
Sasha comes in, sees these white women talking, and she's just like, man, somebody put green balloons on Abraham's grave. So basically Enid had put it on the wrong grave, and she says Maggie's like, my bad, I should have told you the truth. Glenn would have told you the truth right away, but yeah, that was the wrong grave, I just didn't think it mattered.
And that's why she wanted them balloons from that fucking creepy ass dude.
Yeah, so she could memorialize Glenn. And so Maggie says, I was actually going out there to put the watch on Glenn's grave, because Enid's like, why don't y'all have anything to signify who was there? And she was like, but now I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you the watch. So she gave Enid the watch. Mm-hmm. And she says, we're going to remember him because we have us. Just like Jesus has said about why they burn their dead, because they remember them because they live on, basically. And then they started praying over the meal. And, you know, I feel like the whole theme of this episode was, Jesus will find a way.
Jesus will work it out.
Jesus is working on out. Outside of Hilltop, we just see the Saviors finish loading up. Sasha sharpens a knife with Abe's cigar in her mouth, and then Jesus hops into the back of a truck, and inside the truck he takes a swig of scotch and then pours out the rest because he's petty. And then Carl pops out of nowhere and says hi.
Right.
And Jesus and him smile at each other, and it's like, oh shit,
we about to have a buddy cop duo.
Yeah, Jesus and Carl on the road.
This is gonna be real interesting.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to next week, Karen?
The buddy cop duo, cause Jesus is gonna be cool, and Carl with his non-shooting, non-seeing ass gonna try to put hands on people, and you like, dawg, come on.
So you pretty sure we're gonna get right back to the main story? I'm wondering if we're gonna actually get, because in the preview, like, we're gonna get Tara and whatever happened to Heath.
That's right, because she washed up on the that's gonna be interesting, because the thing with her, like, because they left a while ago, so it's like all the shit that's happened there, they missed everything that's happened there. Literally, she don't know her girlfriend is dead, she don't know any of this, because they have totally been out the loop. So we're gonna get to find out what happened to her, what happened to Heath, and all that stuff. It's gonna be really interesting next week to see what happened. Who knows, she might not even have a memory, who knows.
Yeah, also, I mean, if they're, you know, scavenging or whatever up north, maybe Rick and them are running to them, you know, Rick and Aaron, I don't know. Point being, it looks like that's where we're going next week, so I'm looking forward to that. Let's get to the feedback on the emails. Of course, the feedback is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel's the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com/TBGWT today and get your first month free at getbevel.com. That's GETBEVEL.com/TBGWT. I got a text from my brother this morning and he was like, hey man, you got any of them bevel blades? And I was like, I absolutely do you need to haul some? You need me to let you hold some? And that reminds me, I gave my brother that a year ago, like at Christmas, but he continued to use it. And now you can go online and rather than ask me if I got some extras, which he's fortunate I did, but you can actually go to getbevel.com and order a la carte. So if you just need the blades, if you just need a new brush, if you just need a new razor, new creams, you can now just be like, I only need this. I don't need the whole thing. I don't need the whole whole pack. And you can get it a la carte now, man. So getbevel.com/TBGWT. Karen, you keep an eye on the clock and let me know if we need to do a new session. Mm-hmm. I'll get to the emails. Day walking and skating. This is from Turk.
Hi, skating.
Hi, guys. I thought once Glenn was gone, Maggie would be less annoying. Wrong. Maggie needs to sit her ass down somewhere and make choices for that gut full of Glenn before both their bloodlines go extinct. That is true. She is king of doing too much. Queen of doing too much. Deanna was trying to teach her to delegate instead of putting her hands in everything like Rick, Zeke, and Negan. Show that you can delegate and still be effective. Most importantly, this dumbass is ignoring medical advice. She saw Lori die in childbirth. She knows better. True. Simon took all the beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes right before Thanksgiving. I hope Jesus got his petty PhD and throws all the food off that truck.
That's why he poured the liquor out.
Right? Yeah. Well, the good news is that truck's going back to Negan, so they gonna be up in the compound, y'all. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think there's a black hair shop in Hilltop? If not, why is Jesus' hair so laid? Because maybe he could hook up Heath.
But he is Jesus, so I guarantee you he just put his hands on his head and say, thou shalt be laid, and then it just laid.
It's definitely not a black hair shop, I can say that much. Last week, I was with the ladies ready to get information, but this week, I feel like Rick is right. Half of the Dirty Dozen is either dead, gone to parts unknown, or recovering from serious injuries. Love that they showed Carl fucking that wall up playing darts. If this fool thinks he can shoot Negan, he will be sadly mistaken. Yeah, he gonna look like that old man in the New Jack City talking about, idolater, your soul belongs in hell. He gonna be shaking, holding that gun. Mm-hmm. Hilltop did not want to kill walkers. Zeke's crew has a passive stance right now. Rob was right when he said all them fools and Negan's crew gotta go. There is currently no mechanism big enough or efficient enough to take out Negan's whole crew. Negan wants people to live to produce. Why give him a reason to kill you? The crew will fight. Rick is smart enough to wait for this moment, which is what makes his team the MVPs of the Z-Pac. Peace, Turk. Yeah, they gotta form some alliances. It ain't gonna be as simple as what people saying about just fuck them, just shoot them. It's like, and then let the pedophiles loose. We gotta figure something out, guys.
Right.
Okay. It could be hundreds of people in the crew. We don't know. We gotta combine on these niggas like Voltron. Mm-hmm. Greg writes saying, hey, Rod and Karen, I wanted to see exactly what you both thought about the doctors on the show, both the Hilltop and the doctor that lives with the Saviors, both being named Dr. Carson. Oh, I didn't realize that. Maybe they're brothers or something.
Maybe.
I did not know they were both Dr. Carson. They learned something new. A few episodes ago, when Dwight took Daryl to see the doctor, his name was the same as the doctor from Hilltop who was examining Maggie. Do you think they could possibly be related and separated? Or do you think the Dr. Carson from Hilltop is working as an inside man for the Saviors? Interesting. Either way, I haven't met a Dr. Carson I've trusted. Thanks, Greg at Al Sharp Tongue on Twitter. You know, it could be that. It could maybe one of them's impersonating the other one. I don't know. Maybe they're related. That's a good observation. I didn't pick that up. Last email, Walking Dead feedback from Evie. Hi, Rod and Karen. Can I just say that he may not come when you want him, but Jesus always pulls through? That was very That was very clever of him to hide Maggie and Sasha in Gregory's closet, because you knew that motherfucking Gregory was going to rat them out. I'm curious to know Gregory what Gregory was before the Z-Pac. I bet that nigga was giving tours of that damn house they at.
I bet he was a car salesman.
Right. He was probably some middle manager who got laid off because a trained monkey could do his job, and he blamed everyone but himself. I laughed so hard when Forever Trevor took his liquor. I know that his name is Simons, but he will be Trevor from Grand Theft Auto for me. I know. Damn, boy, if you play that game, it's so hard not to see that. I'm gonna call that nigga Trevor so much. I think when Michonne kissed Rick on the lips, everyone was surprised, even Rick, because after Negan stole all his cool points, I didn't think he was going to get any more play, but I think that was her kissing his ass goodbye. She doesn't look at him the same anymore, and he's going to have to come up with a plan to get his beautiful black queen back. I hope it wasn't a goodbye. I hope it was a comeback.
Yeah, I don't think it was goodbye. I think she'll be back.
Yeah. I think things are about to take a turn for the better for Team Hilltop and Alexandria once Jesus and Carl find the location of the sanctuary, because I don't see how much more Negan can do to them before they say enough is enough and fight back. Loving all these new characters, but The Walking Dead's coming in like Game of Thrones with all these people you have to keep up with. Looking forward to when the whole crew comes together again. Good episode, EVE. No doubt. Thank you. That's the last one. And I just gotta say, I think they are introducing all these people because they're gonna have a culling. You know how it is. You build them up to knock their ass down. I think they introducing all these motherfuckers, and they about
some to ain't gonna make it.
A whole lot of people ain't gonna make it.
It's the end of the season.
It's gonna be a lot of people. We just like, they got lost in the sauce. Can't be paying all these niggas on the payroll. So some people gotta go. Mm-hmm. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much for listening to the Blackout Tips. You know, we're so thankful for you. Thanks to everybody in the chat, man. You guys are awesome. We'll be back Saturday for our feedback show. So looking forward to that. And lastly, man, before we leave, if you listen to Gaming and Then Some, or if you follow Sterling on Twitter, Wound God, he has, he's trying to raise funds for, his hospital bills. He has some hospital bills he's trying to take care of. And, you know, him and Queeter, they're like family and stuff. So, am I roboting out?
No, change over.
Oh, it's too late. Anyway, just, you can either go to our Facebook group, or you can go to our social media pages and stuff. We've shared the links, or just go to his social media, man. But I shared it this morning, and I think we're over halfway towards the goal.
Yep.
It's not even a whole lot of money, but I know it feels like a lot when that's life and death sometimes for people.
Right.
So,
they like family and stuff. So, you know, it's Thanksgiving, and throw a little something their way and let them know that we care.
Yeah, let them have a happy Thanksgiving too, man. All right, guys, we'll talk to y'all Saturday. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.